Aren't you glad this morning that God loved you enough to send His Son? You know, we serve a magnificent God. Really a hard word for me to say, and I wasn't going to say it, but God just kept impressing it upon me. And Brother David asked me to preach, and he asked me to preach on Mary's song. You know, and that's what it's called, the Magnificent. I thought we had a magnificent choir up here today. Not because they did sing beautifully, but what they were singing about is magnificent. Our Lord and Savior coming to die on the cross for our sins. Rising again. And offering salvation to each one of us. You know, Mary was a very special person in God's eyes. So she was highly favored. But she wasn't any more favored than you and I. She was a young lady. I've always looked up to her. Thought, man, if I had only had my life figured out, been devoted to the God that saved me at her age, what would that have been like? What could Bradley James have done? Who would have Bradley James would have reached if I'd have been devoted at her young age of 14, 15, 16 years old? You know, we don't know exactly how old Mary was. But Mary believed. And in your work, on your bulletin or on your talk sheet this morning, the first thing that she believed in God's revelation and not her own reasons. You know, as I looked at the Christmas story, as Pastor David has been preaching through these songs, each one of those guys had something to offer. Every one of those guys, even Zacharias with his question, how do I know that this is going to happen? Every one of them had something to offer. Simeon last week, as he proclaimed that this was the baby that was going to change the whole world, and it did change the whole world. And as he prophesied to Mary, he believed in God's revelation as well. Zacharias came to believe. It took a sign for him to believe. He couldn't speak for nearly 9 months. But he'd done exactly what God told him to do. You know, if I was going to pick a person out of these songs to say that my life was like, it'd probably be Zacharias. I'd like for God to show me sometimes, although I like to talk, so I don't want Him to take away my speech. My wife says I like to talk too much. When we go to Walmart and see somebody, she greets them and says hi, and she continues to move toward the grocery line and getting the groceries, and I lose her, and she's usually about half done up at that point. But when I decide to find her, or when I can find her, sometimes I just keep calling. But Mary believed what Gabriel had told her, that she was going to have a son. And not that Mary didn't question, guys, because she truly did question. She said, how could these things be since I know not a man? How could these things be? And Gabriel said that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that she would have the baby. She would be pregnant. And he did give her a sign. He said, your cousin Elizabeth, she is 6 months pregnant in her old age. I can't imagine what Mary thought, knowing Elizabeth's age. And I believe that she really wanted to go see Elizabeth. I believe that was in God's plan because she needed somebody to support her. She needed somebody that God had appeared, and that family was going to be one that would support what she had to say. You know, as we read in Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 46. And it says, as she entered the house where Elizabeth was. And Elizabeth offered up a great deal of praise for Mary coming to her house. But Mary says, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation to on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of their thoughts, of their heart. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." And Mary stayed with her 3 months, and then she returned home. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And in this time and in this season, when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, knowing that he was going to grow up and he was going to die. But Father, he accepted that plan. And Father, you use human beings just like us in that plan. And Father, you're still using human beings that you created in your own image to further the gospel. And Father, we read stories of people giving up so much. But Father, if we would just give up one day at a time. Father, we look at things and we say that we can't do them. But Father, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Lord, I just pray as we look at Mary's life that we could believe like Mary and accept what you say as truth. And Father, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Mary believed Gabriel told her, and he submitted fully to his plan. She said, "You just go ahead. I'm a lowly servant. I'm a slave to God. And I want it to be just as you have said." And from that point on, I believe she believed. And I don't know exactly when she became pregnant, but I don't figure it was too long after that, because when she went to Elizabeth's house, and we don't know how long that was, but when she went there, Elizabeth knew that she was carrying the baby Jesus. And it says John leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And that was probably the event that where John was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you look back and read about the prophecy of John, it says that he would be filled even from the womb with the Holy Spirit. Now, not any of us has ever had that experience. That's one thing that John has over us, is he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb before he was even born. And he knew who Jesus was. Think about that, guys. He had that knowledge. God gave him that knowledge. I don't know about you, but I don't remember too much about being in my mama's womb. She took pretty good care of me. But that's the way God created our bodies. And every one of us have been created to be a chosen one of God. Maybe you'll never be able to bear the Christ child, because that's already done. But you can bring the gospel into somebody's life. You can sow that seed, just as God sowed that seed in Mary's womb. And even though it's a different kind of seed, it's still there today, and it's for us to take it to the world. God has chosen you and I to do that. And I don't know why he chose us, but he did, because he loves us so much, and he wants every one of us to spend eternity with him. Mary believed in that revelation. Mary believed that she could do that with God's help. Now, Mary wasn't so special. I want to point that out to you right away. She's magnifying God. "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God." Look at that. It says, "my Savior." My Savior. See, Mary, she was doing everything that she needed to do to know that she had a right relationship with God. Her parents had raised her in such a way to know that she had a right relationship with God. And she accepted the challenge. And when she gets to Elizabeth's house, she is just overwhelmed by the fact that little Elizabeth knows and is rejoicing. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women," not above women. Mary's not above any one of you guys, not any one of us. She's among us. She's a sinner saved by grace, just like you and I. That's the reason she needed a Savior. Lots of people want to magnify Mary. They want to say that Mary's an intercession along with Jesus, and that's totally false. That's not what the Scripture teaches at all. The Scriptures teach us that Mary was a sinner saved by grace. She was born into sin. She wasn't born without sin. She was born with sin. Jesus is the only human being that's ever been born, ever will be born, without sin. You know, I used to think there wasn't no way a baby could be born with sin until I raised a couple of kids. Those little rascals are stingy and selfish. They are self-focused. It's all about them. Every one of us is a sinner. I'm thankful that I was able to teach them the right way of doing things, and they still don't do it right all the time, and neither do I. You know, Mary needed a Savior. She truly did. And she also recognized her position. Luke 1:38 says, "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done according to your word." Then the angel left her. Mary believed what the Scriptures of God had already done. Not only did she believe what she was experiencing, but she believed in what had already happened. You know, Mary's song has more than 15 different references from the Old Testament. She was just reading the Bible. She was speaking the Bible. And guys, she didn't carry around one of these copies of Scripture, okay? You know why she done that? Because she went to Sabbath. She went and listened to it read. And that's the reason she could quote it. She had committed it to memory. You can hear Hannah's song. You can hear some of Leah's proclamation of how blessed she was. There's all kinds of things. And guys, if we would just take this word and eat it. I told the kids a couple of weeks ago, our youth group, I said, what's it mean for us to eat something? What happens after we eat something? Well, it gives us energy. And it gives us the things our body needs to keep on going. And if we don't eat, we're not going to live. If we don't drink, we're not going to live. And that's what this word is. If we don't live and eat it and apply it to our lives, then we're not going to, spiritually speaking, we're going to be weak and frail. Weak and frail. And that's what happened to us when we get old, because our body don't use everything the way it should a lot of the time. And we get other diseases that happens. But God's word is so important, and she believed it. Mary also believed that what the angel said about her son. I don't think she ran off and told Joseph. As I was studying this week, I watched a couple of videos, and this one video showed Mary trying to talk to Joseph about what was happening in her life. And I can imagine maybe that she went and tried to tell Joseph what had happened, but she just couldn't get it out. And then she just goes off and she says, she just tells him, "I'm going to see Elizabeth. She's pregnant in her old age." And she said, "I'll be home. I'll come back later." Well, guys, she stayed with her for 3 months until John was born. For 3 months. I don't know how many times she prayed about her marriage with Joseph, but I'm sure it was a lot. Okay? But she believed what the angel told her, because she believed it was from God. Number two in your talk sheet this morning is God's greatness and not our own goodness. Mary believed that God was indescribable and that she could proclaim how great he was because of the things that she had experienced in her life. And even the things that she had read about in her life or heard about in her life. She believed that Israel was delivered from Egypt, that he toppled Pharaoh, that Pharaoh's armies was killed underneath the Red Sea, that God parted the waters for them. She believed the account about Nebuchadnezzar and him being a great king, but then went kind of crazy. God allowed him to go eat grass in the field. And she believed those things. She believed those stories. Can't you hear it in the song that she sang? Listen to what it says over here. It says, "His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of their thoughts of heart." Do you think Pharaoh was proud? I know he was. Have you ever been proud in your life? See, every one of us is proud. Every one of us. Every one of us. "Because of the thoughts of their heart, he has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things." Guys, let me tell you, we serve a God who knows each and every one of us's heart. And if we would just allow ourselves to concentrate on God's greatness and not our own goodness. God's greatness. God is a great God. Think of all the things that you and I get to experience here in America that people in Nepal don't get to experience. Think of the warm homes that we have, or the cool homes. If you're in Africa, you want it to be cool sometimes. Think about all the things that we have for transportation. You know, I get in my car and I go by myself the majority of the time, or me and my wife, and we go do whatever we want to do. We have that freedom, but people away from here don't have that freedom, guys. God's great. Why is this place so blessed? Why is America so blessed? I believe it's because it was built upon God's word. I believe God blessed this nation because of what it was stood for at one time. We're getting further and further away from that. But people, we're called to believe. We know that we're going to be a minority. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says there's going to be fewer and fewer of us as time goes on. But she had already experienced God as being her Savior, and she was confident of that, and that's the reason she could sing this song. She didn't have to worry. You know, I don't know how much she thought about how this is going to work out with Joseph. Will he even marry me now? I'm sure those thoughts crossed her mind. But she was allowing God to direct her path. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe there's somebody in your life. Maybe there's something that you just have no control over. Will you just ask God to help? I believe that's what Mary done. Mary was the poster child for faith in this song. Mary was the first person to see herself as a slave to Christ. Think about that for a minute. Paul pronounced himself as a slave to God. But Mary, here in this passage, tells us that she is a slave. Let it be done according to your will. And she's a very humble person as well. You know, I think of humility sometimes, and I used to think that I was really humble because I'd say, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm not good enough to do that." Guys, that's not humility. That's not humility. Humility is just submitting to what God has called you to do, no matter what the circumstances are. Believing in God and submitting to what He wants you to do. And we've all got to submit to God. Every one of us need to do that. First, we submit our lives. We tell Him that that's what Kylan did today. She showed you guys a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. And she's going to live a new life from here on out. And she's got to keep that focused. And guys, so much of the time we get, as life goes on, we get our, I don't know about you, but I wish I'd had Keith put that picture. Keith took a picture of me the other night. I'd come back from Springfield and being my dad all day. And my eyes were really tired because I'd read a lot of stuff. And I reached over and Carol had her glasses laying on the table. And I'm at that point where I bought a new Bible here a while back so I wouldn't have to buy new glasses. Okay? And so I got to the restaurant and it's real fine print and Carol had her glasses laying there and they're pink. And so I put them on to be able to read what I wanted to eat, right? And I don't know, I had quite a few people taking pictures of me and I'm sure it's going to come back to bite me. So, you know, you never know when that might show up, so just go ahead and come and we'll all have a good laugh. But guys, we get so disfocused sometimes in our lives. As our life goes on and situations change, we lose our focus. Have you lost your focus today? Has troubles and trials had you lose your focus or made you lose your focus? You know, God wants us here. He desires for us to be here. He desires for us to assemble ourselves together. The Bible says to assemble ourselves together so we can build one another up, because we need that. Because we need that. But she's seen herself as a slave. In James 4:6 it says, but He gives grace. He gives greater grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. See, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. God's the giver of grace. The things that you don't even deserve. But last of all, and the last thing on your talk sheet this morning is God's purpose and not our plans. God's purpose and not our plans. Mary allowed God to interrupt her life. She had a plan, but God was allowed to add to that plan. When I first wrote that, I said she allowed God to change her plan. And I thought, she still got married to Joseph. She still had other kids, and I think that was probably in their plan to get married, to live a full life, to have a house, and to him to have a job and her to raise the kids. Isn't that what we think? But she allowed God to add to her plan. She allowed Him to add a child into her life that wasn't her plan. And every one of us have those things happen in our life if we're going to be one of God's children, because He's going to add to what you thought you had planned. Not saying that you have to change everything that you had planned. Sometimes that really does happen. But not all so often. You know, I never planned on being a preacher. And my wife sure didn't plan on me being a preacher. See, I had a plan. When I fully got in tune with God, I thought, me and Carol was attending Morgan Baptist Church at the time. My plan was I was going to be a deacon. I was going to watch her dad, and I was going to become a deacon like him. A good deacon. One that visited, one that went out and told people about Jesus and visited the sick and helped the church and done the things the church needed to do. And I was going to teach a Sunday school class, and we was going to raise our kids at Morgan Baptist Church. And I spent all of maybe 4 years at Morgan Baptist Church total for me and her together. She was raised there. She still calls that her home church. And I do too, for the simple fact that, see, they are the ones that helped me to grow into the person that I am in Christ Jesus. I believe Elizabeth was a person that helped Mary to grow and willing to accept those things that was happening in our life. You know, what if she would have dwelled on all the bad things in her life? That this thing that God added into her life, what if she concentrated on that, of all the bad things? But guys, she didn't concentrate on the bad things, because it tells us right there that His mercy is from generation to generation. Think about all the generations that has passed, and Mary foresaw that. She was actually just prophesying a little bit there that this was going to be a big deal in the thing of this world. And it truly is. But she left it up to God, having the faith that He knew what was going to happen. And again, she heard and believed all things that were wrote in the Scriptures. So I think it's one of the most important things, is that once we get the Bible, and once we read the Bible, and once we start believing those things, and that God can do the same things in my life and in your life, not the exact same things is going to happen. I don't plan on holding a staff over the Red Sea and it parting, okay? I believe that was for one man and one man alone. But guys, I do believe that the gospel has power and it can change lives, and I have that message inside of me, and I believe I can change hearts. I believe because of the gospel inside of me. But Mary didn't magnify herself, she magnified God. Mary submitted herself to God, and Mary was willing to do whatever God asked her to do. I want to ask you this morning, as a Christian, if you're a Christian here, are you willing to do whatever God asks you to do? Because He asks us all the same thing, the very same thing, to go and be witnesses, to go and be witnesses to this world. Every one of you are a witness, but who have you witnessed to lately? Who have you told about Jesus lately? If you truly believe in God, see, I don't believe Mary was silent, and she sure couldn't be silent after 3 months. I can imagine the things that were said about her and the things that, but guys, she didn't worry about that. See, I believe she, even though she couldn't read this, I believe she knew it in her heart, and we know that all things work together to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. She believed that. And she got a hold of that, and she knew that God wasn't going to bring anything in her life that didn't need to be there. But as a Christian, as a young person, as a middle-aged adult, or as an old fogey out here, I don't know what you think you are, and that's just up to you. But I'm telling you, God still has a plan, or you wouldn't be here. And if you think, well, I'm too old. If you think you're too old, tell that to Moses. If you think I can't do that, let's go talk to David for a little bit. Now, he messed up bad. And if he can be a man after God's own heart, so can I. And that's what I want you to want this Christmas season. I want you to want a closer relationship with God, one that magnifies God everywhere you go, and in your work, in your family time, and in your quiet time, and whatever else you want to do. I want it to magnify God. Not everything's going to magnify God that we do, but we can have that attitude. Is what you do pleasing to God? That's the question. Is what you do, what you're involved in, where you spend your time, and all that, is that magnifying God? I like this last verse, and I'll close with this. She says, to Abraham's descendants, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He spoke to our ancestors. Guys, God gave us this word, and we are so rich in this country with His word. We read it on billboard signs. We read it. We have copies of it. I don't know how many copies you have, but I've got copies and copies of it. I've got it on every computer, and I've even got it on that stinking smartphone that I like to carry around in my pocket. And that thing is, you know, I used to know phone numbers and all that stuff. And, you know, I used to know a whole lot more scripture than I know now, because you know why? Because now I just get my smartphone out and I look it up. It's really made me a dumb person because I depend on it way too much. And the reason I say that is this. We can't replace God's word with something else. Okay? God's word needs to be hid in our heart. That's the reason Mary could sing this song. Because she knew God's word in her heart. She didn't have it laying out in front of her like I do today. She knew it. And she is willing to testify about it. And how she felt about it and magnify the God that had provided for her all of her life. Even though she was a poor person, she still wanted to magnify God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've lost your way. Maybe you've become unfocused on Jesus Christ, and He sent you here today to get focused. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You have doubts whether you would go to heaven if you died today. What if that earthquake would happen here? Where would you spend eternity if you was one of the ones that met your demise? See, there's no doubt in my mind. And the Bible says in 1 John that we can know that we're saved. Well, how do you know that? Well, number one, I love Him. And number two, I love to keep His word. Not that I don't. No, I mess up. But if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you need to know. You're the only one that can know. You know, Brother David, me and him went out on a Can We Talk and Maggie yesterday, and he pointed over at me, using me as an example. He said, I'm pretty sure Bradley's saved, but he's the only one that can know that 100%. And that's true, guys. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't know for sure, will you come and just ask? I had to ask the Lord several times in my life, Lord, am I truly saved? He'd always take me back to the altar to remember the altar where I asked Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life. Why? Because of the things I'd done. Because I'm a horrible person. I think wrong thoughts, do wrong things sometimes, react wrong ways. And all I got to do is confess my sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we can confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And I believe that. Okay? As Keith comes, let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this day. I thank You for the many blessings, Father, that You give us. I thank You, Lord, that You did send Jesus. And Father, that He was willing to come to serve, not to be served. Father, He never tried to usurp somebody's throne. Father, He came to serve humanity. He came to be the sin sacrifice for our sins. And Father, but one day He's coming back. And Father, I believe in that promise as well. And I believe there will be every tribe, tongue, and nation around Your throne. But Father, as I stand here today, I pray for each one of these people that's in this auditorium today. This is a place where Your church gathers. And Father, I just pray if there's some among us that don't know for sure, Father, that they would just step out and come and ask You, Father. If they need to repent of their sins and turn away, Father, You are all powerful. You can help us to walk just as Jesus walked. And Father, I'm thankful for Your Spirit that lives in each one of us as we believe, Father, because it helps us to do the things You've asked us to do. And Father, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.